From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, a different look at John Wiley Price from a colleague and close friend. First, life in the middle of a war zone. Richardson native Maryam Muhanna fell in love with a man from Gaza City. Last month, she traveled there to marry him. A week after their wedding, bombs destroyed parts of the city, killing four of her relatives. In the first of two interviews from opposite sides of the Israel-Palestine conflict, the young Texan talks with KERA's Dwali Saikautel.
Maryam Muhanna, thanks for taking the time to speak to me from Gaza City.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
You were born in North Carolina, but raised in Richardson. You're 24, studied biology at the University of Texas at Dallas, and now you're living in a war zone.
We left Dallas on June 1st, and it took us 2 weeks to actually get into Gaza because the border between Egypt and Gaza was closed. And in that time, I had a week to plan my wedding. And then a week after the wedding, the war erupted.
In the latest violence, your cousin Mohammed was killed, and the Sunday before, your cousin Samar al-Halak was killed, as well as her two boys, Keenan and Saji. And she was days from delivering her third child.
A missile hit their flat in an apartment building in the middle of Gaza City. Samar was just a few years older than I am, and she had a great life ahead of her. She had so much potential. It's devastating. It's devastating to know that just innocents are in the middle of all of this.
Your parents weren't allowed to return to the U.S. from Gaza immediately because it was too dangerous to be on the roads. They're back home in Richardson now.
I didn't get to say goodbye. I stood out the window and I waved, and that's it. I could not even walk down the stairs to the front of the apartment building to get out and hug my mom. You just can't. It's difficult, and the reality of the situation is you want to stay safe. You do all you can to stay safe.
Maryam, you witnessed the leveling of the police station across from you.
I have never felt such horror. All I could see was red flames coming towards me, what I thought were towards me, through the window. I was instantly in a fetal position on the ground, screaming, wailing, and crying. I wouldn't want anyone to go through this. I had to go through it for me to feel for the people of Gaza.
What was your life like in Richardson?
That is where I grew up, and quite frankly, we never heard a gunshot. You went to school, you came home, you went to college, you came home. I got to do what I wanted to do. I could drive and do as I pleased without the worry of being hit by an air drone or an F-16 missile. I don't think any human being can be aware of what's going on and not want to find a solution.
Do you want to come home?
I always said that Texas was home and I'd always want to come back. Now I feel that it would be unfair for me to leave Gaza, a place where people don't have the choice to leave. I feel it would be very selfish and very spoiled of me to just pack up when the going gets hard and to just leave and leave a whole bunch of people behind that don't have an escape the way I do.
Maryam Muhanna, speaking to us from Gaza City. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Tomorrow, we'll hear from Cindy Moskowitz, a North Texas Jewish leader who's just returned from Israel. A 107-page federal indictment last week painted a certain kind of picture of County Commissioner John Wiley Price and three others. It was a picture that included conspiracy, tax fraud, and nearly $1 million in bribes. The Reverend Gerald Britt says that's not the whole picture, though. Britt, who's vice president for public policy at City Square, wrote an op-ed column in today's Dallas Morning News about the case and sat down with KERA's Vice President of News, Rick Holter.
Gerald Britt, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You wrote that that picture of John Wiley Price is, quote, someone I don't know. So who's the John Wiley Price you do know?
You know, the John Wiley Price that I know is an incredibly savvy and efficient politician. And I think that should that picture have to merge with the picture in the indictments, that's something I'm going to have to deal with. But I know him personally as well as in his role as county commissioner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a friend.
How did you view the marches, the outbursts, the attacks on windshield wipers?
There were points at which I, like others, kind of rolled my eyes at some things that John either said or did and did not agree with his take on particular issues. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you balance that out against the person that you know whose agenda and whose public service goes beyond that.
I want to read a little bit from the column. You wrote, "For those of us who know him, we understand that in a real sense, John Wiley Price is a creation of the white man's hatred of black people." How so?
The caricature of John Wiley Price is mm-hmm. this race-baiting, hateful individual who hates all white people is a creature that is really the creation of white hatred of blacks and either the timid acceptance of the status quo. What he talks about in a public sense is about the racism that has been here since he's been here. And in all that, there is a difference between the John Wiley Price who shows up on the news and the John Wiley Price who actually does work as county commissioner.
How would you characterize the political legacy of John Wiley Price?
It is not just that black people are so in love with John Wiley Price that they keep returning him to office time after time. It is a fact that he's had little competition or competition that withered in the face of his comprehensive knowledge of his role as county commissioner and the capacity he has to ask those questions that nobody else would ask and at the same time act on the answers to those questions in ways that benefit all of us.
Do you think that his legacy can survive these charges and a trial and whatever penalties do or don't come out of this?
You know, I don't know. His legacy may be tarnished no matter what the outcome of the trial is. Mm-hmm. At the same time, if he is found innocent of at least most of the charges, he could be reelected overwhelmingly again.
How would you characterize the reaction to this indictment in the African-American community?
I think to some degree we're all stunned. There are those of us who have kind of figured it was going to happen, mm-hmm. and the government can indict a ham sandwich when it wants to. So an indictment doesn't mean that he's guilty. What most of us feel is an incredible sadness that it had to come to this. But you also know he's not going to go out like that. He's going to run this out to the end.
Do you ever worry that there might not be another generation lining up to lead when he's off the stage?
There'll always be another generation to take over. I think that next generation of leaders will probably be more inclusive, to some degree less likely to see and view issues through a racial lens, and who are more determined to show their pride, if you will, through their effectiveness in office or their effectiveness in different areas. And that's good to some degree. But at the same time, I don't think any of us can or should forget what it means to be black in America.
Reverend Gerald Britt, thanks for taking the time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
For the evening, mostly cloudy skies, a 20% chance of rain, a low around 74. Tomorrow should be cloudy. There's a 20% chance for storms with a high near 93. And tomorrow night, much of the same. Cloudy skies, chances for showers with a low near 74. It's currently 82 degrees in Dallas, 84 in Fort Worth, 91 in Tyler, and 84 in Wichita Falls. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.